Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning, and we are from Berean Baptist Church down in Fleming Island, Florida, and Fleming Island is just outside of Jacksonville. You guys will be dismissed to the gymnasium, so y'all go ahead and head out that way. So it's good to be here this morning. Once again, we're from Berean Baptist Church down in Fleming Island, Florida. Fleming Island is just outside of Jacksonville, Florida. I think our most asked question as we travel is, where is Fleming Island, Florida? And so that's where we're located, just in the northeast corner of Florida. And Berean Baptist College was started in 1999 as a ministry of Berean Baptist Church. Just like you have a bus ministry, I noticed some buses around here this morning, and we have a bus ministry at our church. But in 1999, the Lord impressed upon our pastor, Dr. Tom Neal's heart, to start a college. That song that they just sang about America, I believe America needs revival. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I promise you, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I believe that America needs revival. And I believe that if America is going to see revival, then we've always have to have the next generation of young people who will stand up and say, I'll be counted for Christ. I'll do what God wants me to do. And we have to have places that will train them to do that. And so that's what Berean Baptist College is all about. And we are an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen. Who has a college to train young people to go out and do the same thing that our pastor did for 32 years at our church in January of 2013. Dr. Greg Neal, our pastor's son, Dr. Tom Neal's son, became the pastor of our church and also the president of our college. Dr. Tom Neal is pastor emeritus at our church still and travels around the country preaching and trying to help churches to see revival and see God do something. I believe that it is the old-fashioned gospel of Lord Jesus Christ that's going to bring about revival. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we need some changes in Washington, D.C., but those changes in Washington, D.C. won't do anything if there's not changes in churches across America, and that's what we need to see. And so that's what Berean Baptist College is all about. It's about training soul winners, training young people. I had the opportunity, I had the privilege of teaching our soul winning class, the very first class that our students take when they get to Berean Baptist College, whether or not they've been a soul winner in the past or whether they're brand new to the whole thing of soul winning, is the soul winning class. That's the first class that every freshman takes. Have the opportunity of seeing people that never have won a soul to Christ win their first soul to Christ. Taryn, one of the guys that on the group, he'll introduce himself later, but he's from Colorado, and he's his name is Taryn Scary, so that ought to tell you a little bit about him. He's a unique guy, but he had never won a soul to Christ before he came to college, and we went out soul winning just this past week, and I saw him lead several folks to Christ. Just this past week, we were in Illinois, and we went soul winning one day with a friend of ours down there who's just gone to go start a church outside of St. Louis. And we were out giving out gospel tracts and going soul winning. And just our group had the opportunity of leading 35 people to the Lord in that one day. And not bragging on us, I'm just saying it can still be done. And it's still done the way it's always been done, by going out and giving the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And so that's what we're about at Berean Baptist College. I tell people all the time, people say, well, you just think everybody ought to come to your college. I said, no, we don't want everybody at our college. I'll just be honest with you, we don't. We want the people that God sends our way. And so we're not here this morning to try to say, you need to come to Berean Baptist College. We're here to say, Berean Baptist College is in Fleming Island, Florida. If the Lord would direct you our way, we'd be happy to help you in any way that we can. And so that's what we're about at Berean. So does anybody have any questions? I did this last Sunday. It went pretty well. So we'll see if anybody has any questions. Maybe it's the first time you've heard of us. You may have a question about our college, about our ministry. Feel free to raise your hand, and I won't embarrass you, I promise. Does anybody have any questions at all? If nobody has any questions, I'm just going to preach. So, you know, I saw a hand there. Yes, ma'am. No, that's fine. We offer a lot of different majors. We don't offer a lot of what your colleges that would be considered a liberal arts type school. We don't offer those type. We are strictly a Bible college. Some of the information of the majors that we do offer is available in a brochure format on the back table. We offer ministries majors. for men and ladies, and that gives you an overview of all church ministries. We offer administrative, which would be people who would want to work in a church office, but it is all church-focused. So, and then we have elementary and secondary education as well as primary education. Primary would include both elementary and secondary. So we offer all those majors as well as pastoral theology and also missions and I'm just going off the top of my head because I don't have one of those brochures in front of me. But we also offer master's programs as well in several of those areas. So that'll just give you a brief overview of what we offer. We do offer a one-year Bible diploma for someone who doesn't know what God wants them to do. They've not been called into a specific area of ministry. We try to encourage young people that if they'll give God first place, that's the best thing that they can do. So we try to encourage them to come at least for a one-year Bible diploma. A lot of times when they get there, the Lord will direct them, and they'll stay for longer. But we do have that available for someone that doesn't know, or maybe they feel like that God wants them to be in a medical field or something of that nature. They can come and get a one-year Bible diploma, and it gives them a little bit stronger basis before they go into what they believe God wants for them. So that's what we have that as well. But like I said, there is a brochure on the back table that'll lay out all that information. Yes, sir. Our enrollment is, we have a very small college. Our college is small in numbers. The largest our college has been is 125 students, and that's when I went to college there. And that's not a fat joke. It wasn't large because I was there. The largest number was because it was then. In 2003 was the last time that we sent out a tour group until 2012, so there was a period of time that we did not let anybody know that we were even there. And most of our students during that time came from our academy. We had 48 students enrolled last semester. We graduated 7, but we have 15 commitments to be there in the fall, of new students to be there in the fall. We're praying with the recruits that we have that we're talking to, we're praying that the Lord will give us 75 for the fall. But we're just looking to see what the Lord will do for us. Our pastor has a real heart. It's hard to explain, but it's very ministry focused. The college is a ministry, so it's we're trying to help these people's lives. So we're not really concerned about being the largest. Of course, we want to help as many people as we can, but once again, we're trying to make sure that the Lord will lead and guide and direct, and we get to help the ones that God sends our way. So it's just a short answer. We'll probably have about 50, 55 for sure in the fall. With the possibility of up to 75 in the fall. Yes, ma'am. We do have housing on the campus. In fact, they're actually being remodeled this summer as we speak, and we can house up to 80 students at this present time. We have plans to build other dormitory facilities if the Lord allows the college to grow, but we're not building until the Lord sends the extra students. What we would end up doing is if the Lord send us a big influx, then our students that live in the area, all of our students, even if they're from our church, they live in the dorm to give them a chance to grow up and get away from mom and dad a little bit. So they're required to live in the dorm. If the Lord did send us a big influx of students from out of state, then in the fall, say if we had 90 students show up in the fall, which I'm not going to limit God, but if that were to happen, then our home students would just move home so that we'd have room to house the others until we could build the other dorm facilities. But there's plans to build that if the Lord should allow. Anyone else have any questions? Amen. I hope we were helped to you this morning. And as far as answering maybe some questions you may have about the college, as I said before, there are some brochures on the back table that will give you more information about the courses that we offer. Also, there's a blue financial information brochure back there. People ask us all the time how much it costs to go to college. Unfortunately, it does cost, but we do have a brochure that lets you know about what the cost of it is, but also some scholarships that our church makes available to students to help them get started in college. It's not something that's funded by a group. It's funded by our church just to help students. It's not going to pay your whole way through college, but it tries to help you get in the door. We say all the time, God has a plan for each and every person's life, and I would hate for finances to stand in somebody's way of letting God use them. And so, but that's available on the back table as well. If you have any more questions, feel free to flag me down after the services today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Also on the back table, there are some CDs back there. So you can stop back there and take a look at those if you enjoy the music. And then we also have back there, we ask that everybody pray for us, if you will. That's the biggest way that you can help us as we travel, help our college, is to pray for us. And we have some magnets back there that have our college name on it. If you pick one of those up, we'd appreciate it, and stick it on your refrigerator. Because we only go into Baptist churches. We figured if we made it into a magnet, we would get prayed for more. And so we have those available on the back table. If you would feel free to pick one of those up. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me very quickly to the book of Amos. Amos chapter number 3. And I'm going to read just one verse of scripture this morning as we get started. Amos chapter number 3, a very familiar verse of scripture. I haven't said this already, but I grew up in church. I'm a pastor's son. I know that probably just lowered me in the eyes of most people that I'm a pastor's son, but I am a pastor's son. My dad's pastored since I was 6 months old. So I've been in church my whole life, in a church just like this my whole life. This is all I've ever known. All through my life, I've heard the Christian needs to walk with God. How many of you have been in church any length of time? You've heard that, right? We've all heard. The Christian needs to walk with God. You've got to have a walk with God. Growing up in church, you know, I thought, well, what does it mean to walk with God? You know, as a young kid, I asked, you know, well, I want to walk with God. My dad says I need to do that. I hear preachers say I need to do that all the time. So I need to figure out how I need to walk with God. And of course, there's some things that are obvious, but as I look to the Word of God, the Bible has much to say about walking and walking with God. The Bible says, the first scripture I wanted to look at this morning is Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a good question, isn't it? Can two walk together except they be agreed? To walk with God is not some mystical thing. You know, many times, especially as a young person growing up, man, we feel like that those type things are unattainable. You know, I see the pastor who walks with God, but I don't feel like I can walk with God. I see a Sunday school teacher that walks with God or someone in a place of authority that walks with God, and I feel like it's unattainable many times for me as a young person. Maybe for a new Christian, you may feel that way, that those that have been in church longer, have been saved longer, they have a walk with God that I don't know that I can have. But to walk with God is not something that is unattainable. It's not mystical. To walk with God simply means to walk in agreement with or pleasing to God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Two walk together except they be agreed. To walk together with someone is to walk in agreement with someone. The Bible tells us, the Bible explains to us that we need to abide in the Lord. Abide in God. So if we're going to walk with God, then we've got to walk in agreement with Him. We've got to walk pleasing to Him. And we've got to abide in Him on a daily basis. And so in walking with God, the Bible says in John chapter number 15, verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, the Bible says that we need to abide in Him and let His words abide in us. We do have the ability, it is possible for the child of God to walk with God and to walk in agreement with God and have a daily walk with God. However, it is possible for the Christian to walk contrary to God. We can go against God. And so the Bible tells us very plainly in Leviticus, if we walk contrary to Him, then He will walk contrary to us. Man, I would rather walk in the same direction and walk along with God than to have God fighting against me. You know, it's bad enough as a Christian. I mean, I think we could all agree with this. It's bad enough to have Satan fight against us, isn't it? I mean, Satan fights the Christian. That's nothing new to us. We know that. But I'd much rather have Satan fighting against me than God fighting against me. And so we as Christians need to realize that we can walk with God, and we need to see what the Bible has to say about walking with God. I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning. I guess I have longer than I thought I was going to have. But we're going to talk to us just for a minute about what does it mean or how to walk with God. I promise you, you're not going to hear anything this morning that you've never heard before. The Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun, right? So if it's in the Word of God, you've probably heard it before. Brother Rogers and I were talking on the phone, and he asked me to speak this morning. He said, make sure you don't preach one of my sermons. And so I went online and I found one. No, I'm just joking. But if I preach something that sounds like him this morning, I promise you, I didn't sneak into his office last night while I was staying in the prophet's chamber and grab one of his sets of notes, I promise. We just simply have the same word of God, amen? So if I preach something that sounds similar to you this morning, please understand that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into what the Lord has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you once again this morning to help us. Lord, I'm nothing without you. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me this morning and help me to say something that will be a help to someone this morning. Lord, our desire and my desire this morning is when I walk out of here that I'll be a little closer to you than I was when I walked in. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do just that and have a heart that's open to what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, if we're going to walk with God, then we have to walk according to the Word of God. The Bible says we need to walk by faith. How many of you ever heard the Bible say to walk by faith? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Man, one of the hardest things for us to do is to walk by faith. As a lost individual, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So I believe that walking by faith is the first step in walking with God. Because if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior by faith, then we have no basis of walking with God. I talk to people on soul winning all the time, and I ask them, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Oh yeah, I know I'm on my way to heaven. And I say, well, let me ask you this. What do you put your faith in to take you to heaven? What do you trust in to take you to heaven? Many times the answer is, well, I'm a good person, or I'm a good dad, or I'm a good mom, or I try to live a good life. And my patent answer is, well, that's a great thing to do. I think you ought to be a good dad. I think you ought to be a good mom. But that the Bible tells us that there's nothing that we can do to get ourselves to heaven. So many times that we as Christians, we understand that fact, that there's nothing that I can do. And we understand, we remember the time that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We realized that we are not good enough in and of ourselves to get ourselves to heaven. I mean, if you're saved this morning, you had to come to that realization that there was nothing that you could do to get yourself to heaven because you were a sinner. If we're saved this morning, we had to have a point in our life that we understood that. And not only that, but we realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, and took His blood back to heaven as our great high priest, and paid for our sins in heaven with His own blood. And we, by faith, trusted that. How many of you saw Jesus raised from the grave? You didn't see it. You weren't there. How many of you saw when Jesus walked into the throne room in heaven or walked up to the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkled His own blood on the mercy seat? You weren't there. You, by faith, trusted in that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, in the last part of that verse number 3, the Bible says, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I love the Word of God. I love how the Bible doesn't say anything on accident. He said, "the measure of faith." That means there's a certain amount of faith that God deals to every man. He said He dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I just happen to believe that that measure of faith is the amount of faith it takes for an individual to get saved. What we invest that faith in determines our eternity. And we invested that faith one day in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose again the third day, paid our sin debt for us on the cross of Calvary, and we by faith trusted that. All of us that are saved, that's how we got saved. But many times after that, that walking by faith gets a little more difficult. Because we think, well, once we got saved, then everything's going to be peaches and cream. But it's not. There's battles. There's heartaches. There's disappointments. And we, by faith, have to walk with God, trusting in God that God knows what's going on. You know, that's the hardest thing, I believe. One of the hardest things for a Christian to do is to let go and understand that God is in control. I believe that. I mean, I've experienced it in my own life, having to let go. We have to let go many, and I don't want to get hung up here because I want to get through this real quick. I'm looking at that clock wrong. I'm supposed to be done in 50. Let's see. Hold on just a second. I got it right here. Yep. Got it. I'm almost done right now. We're going to get through one point today. Amen. See, I thought I had more time than I did now. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, we need to walk by faith. We walk by, you know, in my own life, I've had to understand, I had to let go of some of the dreams I've had because it's not what God wanted for me. And I had to, by faith, follow the direction that God opened up for me. I had some dreams, I had some plans that they didn't work out. You know what, sometimes in my family, my daughter is 9 years old, and I was 25 years old when my daughter was born. And she was born on a Wednesday. And there was some complications with her birth, and she had to be taken, my wife had to be taken to an emergency surgery to deliver my daughter. And through that time, you know, everything was going fine, but her blood sugar was low. Now I understand that a lot of times that does happen, but I didn't know that at the time. And my wife didn't know that at the time. It was our first child. And we went through the whole day where their blood sugar was fluctuating and everything. Well, it came church time. So all of our family was in church. Our pastor was in church. Everybody that we knew was in church. That's the way it should be, amen? But it was Wednesday night. We're sitting at the hospital. The nurse comes in and checks Grace's blood sugar. And her blood sugar had dropped very low. And she looked at the chart. And she looked at us. And she said, I'm going to have to take her to ICU. She said, if her blood sugar doesn't come back up within the next 15 minutes, she could have brain damage. And to a new parent, that's devastating news. And they wheeled my daughter out, and my wife began to cry. And I reached over. I'm not a super Christian now. Don't get me wrong, but I did the only thing that I knew to do. I reached over and I grabbed my Bible, and I went over and sat on the bed next to my wife. And I began to read the Word of God. And then I just stopped and I said, Lord, grace is yours. She's not ours. So if you want her to have brain damage, then I promise you that we'll do everything that we can to raise her for your honor and your glory. But it's yours. Now, I didn't do that because I was a super Christian. But in that moment, I knew that the only chance that I had was God. I'm telling you, not 10 minutes later, they brought Grace back in. She said, her blood sugar is normal. Amen. They checked it over and over again through the night. It never fluctuated again. Now, some people say, well, that was just the time that it took. No, I believe that was God. Right. If you're a doctor in here today and you want to tell me different, don't tell me, because I believe God did that. And you know, and in that moment, God increased our faith. And every time we trust God, and every time we invest our faith in God once again, He increases our faith. And as we walk by faith, we're able to walk by faith more and more and more. The very first step for us as Christians, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to walk by faith. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Why don't we just give it to Him and say, Lord, I want to walk with You more, so I'm going to trust You more. This morning, the best thing that we can do, the very best thing that we can do, is say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I don't have to. I trust You.